Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Wednesday, the 9th of March, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KJLL 1330. And we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We are live weekday mornings 9 to 10. Then we re-air the program from 7 to 8 in the evening here on KJLL. The lineup for today's show includes a newsmaker interview with Dennis DeConcini, former U.S. Senator and now a member of the Arizona Board of Regents, which met in a special session yesterday to talk about budget cuts facing the University of Arizona, ASU, and NAU. That special meeting was in Phoenix. We'll talk with the senator as a member of the Board of Regents and find out where we're going with the universities. Then we'll talk with two of the coordinators of Bike Fest 2011, which celebrates bicycling in our community. Bottom of the hour, we'll preview this weekend's third annual Tucson Festival of Books. Then we close out the show with folklorist Big Jim Griffith. Big Jim will be along talking about the legacy of Father Kino, who died 300 years ago next Tuesday. Buckmaster Show is primarily interview-driven, but there's always room for you, the listener. So if you have a comment or question, the Buckmaster Show live line is 529-3508. Dennis DeConcini is a former Democratic U.S. Senator for Arizona, serving in the U.S. Senate from 1977 to 1995. In 2006, then Governor Janet Napolitano appointed Senator DeConcini to serve on the Arizona Board of Regents. He founded the law firm of DeConcini, McDonald, Yetwin, and Lacey, where he is still a partner with offices in Tucson, Phoenix, and Washington. And Senator DeConcini is on the Buckmaster Show live line. Senator, good to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you, my friend. It's good to see you, and thank you for doing the forum the other day at the university.
Oh, you're welcome. That was our forum on civility. But I want to lead off with the situation with the special meeting, Senator, of the Arizona Board of Regents. Some serious financial cuts are looming for the university system. University of Arizona alone looking at $67 million in cuts. So what is the current thinking on how you and the other board members are going to tackle this deficit?
Well, it is the most difficult time I have faced at the almost five years I've been on the board, Bill. It's we have really wonderful, outstanding universities, tremendous leadership with Shelton and Tucson and Crow and at Tempe at ASU and Hager up in NAU and Flagstaff. We are fortunate that we have such fine leaders and that they understand that we got to do more and better with less. That's hard to do, particularly year after year. And with our legislature hell-bent, and I mean hell-bent, to, in my opinion, to really dismantle higher education and not fund it. We've gone from 30% less than 20 years ago, I mean 40% less than 20 years ago, down to about 11% of state funding now. It's really tragic.
Senator,
so the Board of Regents, of Regents are charged with setting tuition, and we have spent yesterday reviewing carefully with each president exactly what their funding is, what their sources are besides state assistance and tuition, as well as things like donations, other income from property investments and the foundation and what have you, and any reserves that some have maintained for good business purposes. And now we're faced with tuition increases. We don't know yet, but my guess is they're surely double digits, as they have been over the last 5 years. And it's really a difficult situation for us to face, because our students and our families, it's part of our Constitution to provide higher education free as possible. Those are the words in the Constitution of the state of Arizona. So it doesn't quite answer your question what we're going to do, but we are giving every consideration and dealing carefully with each president's proposal. But it's our obligation and ultimate responsibility to set that tuition as free as possible for the students and the families of Arizona.
Senator, you mentioned that the funding over the last 30 years has been cut just so dramatically. Is it safe to say that some in the legislature are literally out to destroy the university system? They want to do away with the Arizona Board of Regents. Where are we going with higher education in this state? It's very, very troublesome to many of us.
Well, indeed it is, Bill. It's I'm a native and a graduate from University of Arizona with 2 degrees, and you know, God bless the legislature in the past and the governors in the past, the Board of Regents and the citizens of Arizona who provided me this education. I wouldn't be a lawyer if it wasn't for the University of Arizona, and I wouldn't have a degree. In those days, it cost almost nothing. But it was supported by the states because the tuition was almost zero. But it cost millions of dollars, and the state put up the money, as our Constitution requires. Unfortunately, our political system has changed dramatically, and it isn't just that it's controlled by the Republicans, because when there had been Republicans there before, like Mark Killian, when he was Speaker of the House, and now he's a member of the Board of Regents, a Republican, you know, he was not hostile to higher education. Today, the leadership in the legislature is extremely hostile to higher education. There is a mentality there that, you know, you can do it by yourself, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and these universities are just big, bloated organizations that spend too much of the taxpayers' money, and the Tea Party mentality has set in that government is not good, it's not something that is positive for us. It's something that has to be eliminated or reduced to bare minimum, or in education cases like higher education, literally done away with, because that's where we're going if we continue to operate this way without appropriate funding.
It's now 14 minutes past the hour. On the Buckmaster Show is Senator Dennis DeConcini, and he is a member of the Arizona Board of Regents. Senator DeConcini, is it safe to say then, when we look at these cuts, $67 million proposed at least for the University of Arizona, is everything on the table from layoffs to cuts in financial aid to higher tuition? Literally everything is being explored.
It is, Bill, as a good observation, and there are, there are several members who expressed themselves yesterday, and it was a public meeting, that they would not, under any circumstances, reduce financial aid, because this is the lifeline to a number of students and families who just can't afford $8,000 or $9,000 to go to school. I was asked that question yesterday by a reporter. And I, in all fairness, I feel very strongly about that financial aid as well. But in very fairness, everything is on the table, in my judgment. And I can't speak for the other 9 members of the board, but I believe most of them feel that way. We're not going in there with preconceived views, at least I'm not, that we can't touch this, or we have to do this, or we have to raise tuition by double digits. We're going in there with a real approach of what do we believe, and we're not perfect, but we're the people that are charged with this responsibility. What do we believe these universities can continue to provide the access and quality at what cost to the students and the taxpayers, and also preserving some of the fine quality and professional people that are involved in our universities. As you know, Bill, you worked there for so many years.
23 years, Senator.
23 years. You have a better approach than I do of the quality of people at the University of Arizona, and also at ASU, because you worked with that university as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are fortunate. Part of it, I think, or has been, is that the climate, both political as well as the true climate, is so attractive in Arizona. Unfortunately, the political climate has drastically changed, and the legislature has just decided that we will not raise anybody's taxes, period, even for things like transplants or higher education. And it is clear, and even the legislature knows, it is clear that higher education is the pathway to more economic development and prosperity for our state.
Well, Senator, we hope to talk with you again. The Regents will be voting on tuition increases next month, and there's a public hearing planned for March 28th. So we'll talk more, I hope, as we get closer to this. But I do want to, in the remaining 2 or 3 minutes, as you know, the reason I decided to leave television and go and do a radio show here in Tucson is that I felt there was a place that something was needed where folks could get together for an hour every morning, Monday through Friday, and talk about the issues without this real heated rhetoric. As you know, I hosted that panel with you on civility. Have you ever seen a situation in your political career, in your public life, where things have deteriorated to this point when it comes to civility?
I have not, Bill, and it's discouraging. I'm one that really believes an optimist about our political system nationally. But I have to say it's discouraging to see this, because it is, as much as some do not want to face it and address it, it is politically based from the right and the left. It's not just the Tea Party people, but it's the right and the left, the liberals and the conservatives, have lost the ability to discuss and to have encounters without it become a personal vendetta that you have to get even on with the other side. This is not unheard of. Our country has gone through this sort of problems before, and when I served in the Senate for 18 years, we had a few individuals, just a few, that were like that. They were singled out in their own party and just kind of somewhat ignored. When you're in the Senate, you know, even if you get ignored by your fellow colleagues in your same party, you can still have a lot of influence, and you can stop the Senate because one person can do that. But it was rare, and generally there was a capability of putting things together, and that has changed a lot. I just quit lobbying in Washington, so I don't have the close contacts. But, you know, whether I talk to my friend Orrin Hatch from Utah, who is a very conservative person, or Tom Harkin from Iowa, or Harry Reid from Nevada, who are certainly on the other side of the political spectrum, they talk about the meanness and the spirit, even within their own ranks. And that's a discouraging thing. With the answer, Bill, are people like you and programs like you that want to have a discussion without having to, quote, get you. And you can have a discussion, and I can disagree with Senator Pierce, the president of the Senate, but I respect him.
Well, that's go ahead.
Excuse me. He thinks he's right, but I hate to see the things he says about the opposition or somebody disagrees with him. Or Mr. Harper up there on the guns in school. He thinks he's right, and he's entitled to that opinion. I will respect him for his opinion, but when he says the things he says about our universities, it's difficult to maintain that respect, and it's a situation that programs like this that will permit Mr. Harper, Mr. Pierce, Mr. Deakins, anybody else to express their views without having to get hostile.
That's right, and this program is open to all politicians. Russell Pierce is scheduled to be with us for at least a half an hour next week. I believe that's next Wednesday that we have him on. Senator DeConcini, thank you for being with us, and can we call again on you?
Indeed you can, either in Tucson or when I'm over here at the coast. I just got here yesterday from 3 days in Phoenix, and I spend my life now that I don't go to Washington so much in Tucson and over here in California sometimes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill, and thanks for your service. I'm not, Gene, being solicitous here, but I've known you for so long, and you contributed so much to the University of Arizona and public radio over your career, and now you're doing a real service.
Thank you so much, Senator. Have a great day.
You bet. Bye now.
Okay. About 20 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. Let's talk about Bike Fest 2011. That's next.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA Four Diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is your one-stop store for fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and Mont Blanc and other top-of-the-line writing instruments. Order online at sarnoffart.com or visit owner-operator Henry Sarnoff and his store staffed by artists, for artists, and those who seek the finest quality in everything art-related. Sarnoff Artist Materials, 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at sarnoffart.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastro pub.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's coming up on 24 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster. This Friday marks the start of Bike Fest 2011, which will run through April the 30th, featuring a variety of bikes celebrating bicycling, along with bike to work, school events, free admission to the zoo, and of course, I guess the ultimate goal, cleaner air. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is the project coordinator for Bike Fest 2011, Jennifer Matthews. She's also with the Living Streets Alliance, which this year is partnering with the City of Tucson, Pima County, and the Pima Association of Governments to coordinate Bike Fest 2011. Tom Thievener is with us also from the City of Tucson. He is the Bicycle and Pedestrian Program Manager in the Department of Transportation. Tom and Jennifer, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much for having us.
Jennifer, what is the goal of this? I mentioned it seems like ultimately it's cleaner air. Is that kind of the bottom line?
It's cleaner air, but there's so many issues that we're addressing here, and there's so many different events. I believe we're almost up to 20 events, and we're actually new ones are joining us every day. But there's something for everybody during this time period. We've got we're encouraging people to get out onto the streets using their bicycles. There's events for fun ways for families to get out there, such as Ciclovia or Bike to the Zoo Day. For the more serious bicyclists, we have tours going into the Tucson Mountains, Urban Assault. We have educational ways to get people out there, such as the kickoff this weekend with Mia Burke at the Festival of Books and talks with Mark Fenton. And we have practical ways to get people out there with Bike to Work Week, incentives to encourage people to commute to and from work, or the bike swap meet. We have commuter challenges. There's really something for everyone.
And the kickoff's tomorrow. It's called Joyride, community bike ride, and that gets underway at 11:45 by Old Main.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of exciting because I got into bicycle planning a few years ago, and one of the main leaders in this country is Mia Burke, and she was the bike pedestrian planner 10 years ago in the city of Portland, and she helped start the revolution there for bikes, got the ridership way up, and that's something that I think we can learn a lot of lessons from. And having her out here is just going to be great, and we'll get to ride around the city. And
so she's really well known in the bicycling community. And
very well.
And to have her, Mia, coming to our community is a real big deal for the biking community.
Exactly. We're going to learn a lot from having her out here.
Tell me about Tucson and bicycling, Tom. We are one of the top bike cities in the country, and why is that?
We are rated gold by the League of American Bicyclists, so we're definitely in the top 10 for bike friendliness nationwide. Tucson's always been on the cutting edge. We've been putting in bike lanes before it got popular in other cities. We've had a bike coordinator at the city for about 20 years, so it's something that the city's invested in a long time before other cities have. And then we have decent ridership. We have a lot of commuters. We're probably more well-known for our recreation cyclists. I mean, Lance Armstrong coming out here to train, the El Tour de Tucson being the largest one-day perimeter event. So just a lot of things going on bike-wise in Tucson.
And the weather, Jennifer Matthews, really is very conducive to bicycling all year round.
It's perfect all year round, particularly right now.
Tell me about Living Streets and the Living Streets Alliance. What is that?
Living Streets Alliance is a new nonprofit. The mission is to promote healthy communities by empowering people to transform our streets into vibrant places for walking, bicycling, socializing, and play. And what we do is we try to really engage the community and develop strong community partnerships and do a good bit of advocate work, as well as promoting events such as Bike Fest.
And the financial cutbacks, we all know the city's hurting. Really, all governmental agencies have had a tough time. And having Living Streets step up has really helped, Tom.
Exactly. I mean, my department, the Department of Transportation, is down from about 300 staff people to 200. My bike program, we were two people. Now we're one person, myself. So we've really had to look with our limited resources on how we can make the money go further. And partnering up with Living Streets Alliance is one of those ways that we can help sustain some of the programs that our citizens enjoy. But it's just going to be different.
We really don't have time to mention the entire list, Jennifer Matthews, but where can folks go to see what's happening with Bike Fest?
You can find a full list of events at www.bikefesttucson.com. There's also a place there you can find out how you can help if you have a business that would like to participate. There's lots of ways that you can join us. We also have a Facebook page, once again the same name, Bike Fest Tucson.
If someone is new to bicycling, are there a couple of events here you want to highlight that might be very conducive to new bike riders?
Ciclovia.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Ciclovia is one of the big events that we've been gearing up for, throwing a lot of staff time towards, and Living Streets Alliance is involved in that too. But it's a one-day event where we close down 5 miles of streets in Tucson. So if you're not really geared up for riding on the busy streets, come out for that event. Feel what it's like to ride with fellow bicyclists without the fear of driving, riding with cars.
And Tom, that is the 27th of March.
Sunday, March 27th, correct.
10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and that gets underway downtown at Armory Park.
You got it.
Okay, Bike Fest 2011. Tom from the Department of Transportation and Jennifer from Living Streets Alliance. And Tom, give our best to Mr. Glock. Your boss was named top transportation planner. Got to run. We've got a hard break here with CNN. Good luck. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Discovery is almost home.
The burn's been completed.
We saw a good deorbit burn. We'll meet you in the post-burn tab of the entry checklist.
Copy that.
Discovery's final mission will end when the space shuttle arrives at Kennedy Space Center in Florida in a few minutes. 7 children, all under the age of 11, died in a fire at a farmhouse in Pennsylvania.
Just an absolute tragedy.
Police spokesman Tom Pinkerton says the mom was outside milking a cow and the dad was taking a nap in his milk truck. The Libyan army is advancing as it tries to take back the city of Ras Lanuf from the opposition. Bombs fell on the outskirts of town today. A tornado hit the small town of Theodore, Alabama. A spokeswoman with the fire department says it did a lot of damage to several businesses. Storms and melting snow are causing flooding from New England to the Gulf Coast. The most trusted name in news, This is CNN Radio.
Member Michelle Bowman on the Sam's Club E-Value Savings Celebration.
E-Values lets me sample extra savings on top of the values I already get at Sam's Club.
March 9th through 13th, try E-Values, the money-saving benefit plus members enjoy all year, like $150 off select HP notebooks, $50 off select Serta mattresses,
even $1 off fresh strawberries,
and much more. Not a member? Join now and sample E-Values. Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Supplies are limited and may not be available in all clubs. One item per membership, no rain checks.
As a pizza delivery guy, it's my job to deliver your pizza in 30 minutes or it's free.
Turn left ahead.
If I don't, my boss isn't happy. So I rely on the right guidance to get me where I need to go.
Turn left now.
I feel the same about my taxes. TurboTax has a unique GPS feature that guides me step by step. It automatically double checks along the way, which helps me know it's done right and get my maximum refund guaranteed.
Try it online now at TurboTax.com. Choose easy. Money back guarantee details at TurboTax.com.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinka Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tinka Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tinka Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Are you up for the challenge? It's the third annual Boot Camp Challenge, March 19th. Join Olympic athletes, local armed forces, and celebrities as we laugh, climb, crawl, walk, run, and work out boot camp style through a 5K run-walk obstacle course. To sign up as an individual or a team, go to beatcancerbootcamp.com or call 546-1601 for the Cancer Boot Camp Challenge, 7:30 Saturday morning, March 19th at Brandy Fenton Park. For strength, for health, for life, for fun.
It's 35 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday. Big weekend at the University of Arizona this weekend is the third annual Tucson Festival of Books on the University of Arizona campus. It's a huge event for Tucson's literary community. And next on the Buckmaster Show, we talk with one of the key players of the festival, writer Tom Miller, who the San Francisco Chronicle calls one of our best nonfiction writers. Based here in Tucson, Tom Miller has authored many books, including On the Border, The Panama Hat Trail, Trading with the Enemy, A Yankee Travels Through Castro's Cuba, Jack Ruby's Kitchen Sink, which won the Lowell Thomas Award for Best Travel Book in 2001, and How I Learned English, along with Revenge of the Saguaros. Tom has edited two compilations, Traveler's Tales Cuba and Writing on the Edge, A Borderlands Reader. Tom Miller, good to see you.
Thank you.
Prepared for this weekend?
I suppose busy. You can never be fully prepared for something like this, but I'm as prepared as I can be.
You've had a role in the book festival, really. The first year you had a major role, and then last year. And tell us a little bit about what you've done with the festival.
Well, I've always been a bridesmaid, never a bride. I've been interviewing incoming authors. And this got started because among the first guests that they wanted the very first year of the festival was Elmore Leonard. And he said he'd do it if he could have me interview him.
Wow.
This came as quite a surprise. I'd met him a few times before, but this was this took me by surprise. I was honored to do it. And there are really two ways to approach doing an interview. One way is to wing it. Just get up on stage, chat with the guy, the public image of the person, get fawning questions from the audience and let it go at that. Or do your homework. And since I never did it in grade school, I thought I'd do it now. I read two or three of his novels cover to cover, the most recent ones, and then dipped into a bunch of his previous ones, saw a bunch of the movies that had been made from his novels, and talked to people who had known him over the years. So I felt very prepared for that. That was in the student union. We had a packed house. And he said modestly, it went wonderfully well.
Very nice. And then last year, I had the pleasure of interviewing Elmore Leonard. What a fascinating guy.
Isn't he?
Yeah. Yes. And then this year, you were instrumental in bringing a pretty big name to the book festival, sports writer and author Frank DeFord. People may know him from his work on NPR and, of course, Sports Illustrated and HBO.
Absolutely. He is someone who is, what's the best way to put it? He's somebody who writes about sports but kind of keeps it in the background. His most recent novel, something called Bliss Remembered, is set against the backdrop of the 1936 Olympics in Berlin. But that's just the backdrop. The major character was on the women's swim team. And so there's a little bit of sports in there, but nobody would confuse this and say it's a sports novel. Same with the one prior to that called The Entitled, which is set all about baseball, Major League Baseball, Minor League Baseball, the players, the managers, the general managers. And of course, DeFord has keen insight into all of this. But in fact, it's a novel much more about society, just using baseball as the device.
And Frank DeFord, if the Buckmaster Show listeners would like to come out and visit with him and hear his presentation with you, Tom, that will be Saturday, this Saturday at 11:30 in the morning at the Arizona Daily Star Pavilion on the U of A Mall.
That's right. There's so many different venues on the university campus this weekend. The Star has its own pavilion for its own speakers, and I'm just honored that this fell into place so nicely.
And then you're doing a one-on-one interview with author Martin Cruz Smith of Gorky Park fame. He also, like Frank DeFord, has a huge following.
He does, and the following came about as a result of his novel Gorky Park and the William Hurt movie that came about as a result. It's so seldom. The rule of thumb is bad book, good movie, good book, bad movie. This was very different. This was a good book and a good movie. And this really made Martin Cruz Smith's reputation. The character, the main character in Gorky Park, is a Moscow detective named Arkady Renko. And Smith has used Renko in any number of novels since then, usually set in Russia, usually in Moscow, but there was one that was set in Havana called Havana Bay. There have been a number of them outside of Russia, but usually you have so much to draw on. You have such rank corruption. You have such a wide society. You have a very literary world. You have a lot of new money. You have the old Soviets. He just never tires of writing about Arkady Renko and his adventures in Russia.
When you approach an author interview, and I've done a few over the decades with authors, and how do you approach it? My approach has always been, rather than just say, well, tell us about your new book, I want to learn a little bit more about the whole process, the creative process.
You know, I agree with you, but that may be because I'm involved in the creative process myself. I do plan to get into that. I don't know how much it interests the audience if I ask about mixed metaphors, and if I ask how many spaces you indent at the beginning of a paragraph. But these are the things that interest me as a writer, and I'm hoping that it'll spill over to the audience.
And Martin Cruz Smith of Gorky Park fame, that will be Tom Miller's interview one-on-one. That will be Saturday, 2:30 in the afternoon. That will be in the Modern Languages Building Auditorium. And there's going to be quite a few book signings following the on-stage interviews. Tom, you've got a few book signings yourself.
Well, it's true. I've done.
Maybe you'll be
books.
Selling a few books this weekend.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. I'm going to be signing books following both of those interviews. Plus, I'll be at the booth of my most recent publisher, Cinco Puntos Press. That's booth 446, and I'll be there early Sunday afternoon.
That will be signing for Revenge of the Saguaro, Offbeat Travels Through America's Southwest. That's a book that's really had a life of its own. This book is now kind of was reprinted, right, by Cinco Puntos?
Yes. When Jack Ruby's Kitchen Sink, a book that came out in the year 2000, when it was ready to be reprinted, Cinco Puntos said, you know, we're 10 years down the line of people who haven't heard who Jack Ruby was. We're a very Southwest-oriented publisher. Let's give it a new title. Let's repackage it. And so it's come out now as Revenge of the Saguaro, and I couldn't be happier.
And I have to ask you about the story. Is it folklore? And folklorist Big Jim Griffith will be coming up next year on the Buckmaster Show, but about the guy that shoots a giant saguaro.
It's folklore, it's urban myth, but you know what? It actually happened. A man named David Michael Grundman, who just some drunken fool and lived in North Phoenix, I think that may be redundant, went out one day with his dog and a case of beer and a friend and a shotgun and started shooting at cactus, target practice, boom, 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 knocking them over, these huge, majestic cactus. This is in the Hieroglyphic Mountains north of Phoenix. And there's this one cactus that refused to fall, so he went up to it and grabbed a saguaro rib off the ground, started poking at one of the cactus arms. It came crashing down on him and killed him. Mm. Now, the cactus could have fallen anywhere because the ballast that the arm provided was no longer there, so the cactus kind of moved around in an angle, and it could have fallen anywhere, as I said, but it fell on top of David Michael Grundman, and again, it was the coup de grace. You really can't be much of a believer in karma, except something like this, you do start to believe in natural selection. It was a double homicide, and it actually happened in February 1982.
Oh, my goodness. Tom Miller, it's always a pleasure. We've got about a minute left. We talked with you right after you had returned from the Havana trip. You took a literary tour of Havana, spent about a week down there. Have you been back to Cuba since, or are you planning?
No, I thought I'd spend some time here at home, do the dishes, do my laundry, things like that. I do plan to go back towards the end of this year, but don't know any dates yet.
Nothing new on the Castro, who will succeed Castro watch?
Not really. It's at one point there were people who were lined up, but they got fired from their jobs. When somebody gets a little too popular, they lop off their heads and see who's coming up next.
Okay, Tom Miller, always a pleasure, and you'll have a very busy weekend at the Tucson Festival of Books, and we'll look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you very much. It's about 45 minutes now past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking about Father Kino. 300 years now since the anniversary of his death. We'll be talking with folklorist Big Jim Griffith. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery. I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tinca Verde, at the southwest corner of Tinca Verde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Mell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon.
If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tanque Verde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore, casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson at North Swan and Cap Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Coming soon, Noble Hops, Tucson's first gastropub.
Sarnoff Artist Materials is Tucson's award-winning destination for everything art-related, including fine and graphic artist supplies, framing, stationery, and the world's best writing instruments. Visit owner-operator artist Henry Sarnoff at 2504 North Campbell, three blocks north of Grant, and always at the easy-to-navigate website sarnoffart.com. Because it takes an artist to know an artist's needs.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Imagine a jewelry store that is both sophisticated and organic, where Tucson's rich cultural heritage mingles with contemporary design. We invite you to Veer Jewelers, where our commitment to customer service is surpassed only by our reputation for creating inspired custom jewelry that is as unique as our customers. At Veer Jewelers, you are warmly welcomed, whether you are bringing in an heirloom for repair or design, replacing a watch battery, or shopping for a special gift. Visit our unique showroom, centrally located on Campbell, just north of Grant, or visit our website at veerjewelers.com. Veer Jewelers, Tucson's trusted jeweler for more than 25 years.
It's about 49 minutes past the hour. Eusebio Francisco Kino, the Italian-born Jesuit missionary priest who established a string of Catholic missions in northwest Mexico and southern Arizona, is being recognized for his legacy through a series of events commemorating the 300th anniversary of his death on March 15th, 1711. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is the Buckmaster Show contributor on folklore, Dr. James Griffith. Big Jim is the founder of the Southwest Folklore Center on the University of Arizona campus. He's the co-founder of the annual Tucson Meet Yourself Folk Art Festival. Big Jim has studied folklore and religious expressions throughout the United States-Mexico border region for over four decades. Last month, he was awarded the Lifelong Service Award from the Hispanic Professional Action Committee. Big Jim's the author of seven books on Southern Arizona and Northern Mexico folk arts, traditions, and religious arts. Big Jim, always good to see you.
Well, it's great to see you and great to be here.
We're on the radio.
Yeah, and it's a better view than I had when we
when
were,
we were down
TV.
In the basement in TV. Yes, now you've got a view here of the Catalinas.
Yes.
Father Kino, 300 years since he's been gone, but Big Jim, his legacy really does live on in so many ways, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And what I want to talk about is not what kind of missionary he was, is not his history or even the fact that he was a map maker, an explorer, did all these tremendous things. I'm not sure the fact that he discovered that California wasn't an island was a service. There are times when I wish it still was. But the thing is that as soon as Father Kino road west from the mountain village of Kukurpe into this upper Pima or Otham country, things started changing that still are changing. Nothing remained the same after he got here, and that's really what I want to talk about today. And how much time do I have to?
You have about, about 10 minutes, 9 or 10 minutes.
Oh, boy.
So you say things even to this day are changing because of Kino.
Okay, let's look at the big picture. What he rode into was a country that had its own language, or a region that had its own language, where the biggest political unit was a village, where religion was shared by everybody, but it was not centralized in any way, where the villages were completely autonomous. There was some trade with neighboring regions. And when he died 300 years ago next week, he had brought in two new languages, Spanish, which is still spoken, and the ritual language of Latin, which would be still spoken were it not for Vatican II. He brought in a religion which was a worldwide religion. The dwellers of these autonomous villages, whether they knew it or not, and many of them I'm sure didn't know it, were subjects of the Spanish crown, part of political and economic parts of a worldwide empire. He brought in all kinds of new crops, new food animals. His big introductions were wheat and beef. And every time you have a burrito de carne asada,
think of Father Kino, right?
You're literally tasting Kino's legacy. It's hard to go to a Mexican restaurant in this region that serves regional Mexican food and not eat something that's made from either wheat or beef or cheese, which is a beef byproduct. Run the standard menu over in your mind, and it's all beef and wheat, and it's all because of this guy. He started a process in which today I looked at the paper and I worried about things that were happening in Libya, Afghanistan, China, Europe. Those connections didn't exist before Kino arrived here, and he laid the foundation for those connections. He started all these processes, which are continuing right now at this moment.
So Kino really changed the world forever as far as this part of the world.
Yes. You can argue that it, you know, if it hadn't been Kino, it would have been someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Kino. It wasn't someone else. So we need to think about this guy in terms of how much our region reflects his presence here 300 years ago. And the reflections are pretty strong.
Was Kino good to the local people?
As far as I know, he was. I'm sure he lost his temper occasionally. There's nothing harder than trying to persuade somebody of an absolutely, totally different culture that they should do what you want them to do. He was in one of the toughest jobs you can imagine. He had the equipment for it that any of his compatriots would have, except maybe a greater patience. Another way to look at Keno, and this is not, I hope, going to get to the people who are urging his beatification, but another way to look at Keno is that he was the first person of European descent to arrive here as a permanent resident under the impression that he was bringing civilization into some kind of a cultural vacuum. He was by no means the last. I suspect that two or three of them got off the plane this morning wondering why, what they can do to make their new home have more of the characteristics that drove them to leave their old home.
Talking with Big Jim Griffith, folklorist, about 50, coming up on 57 minutes past the hour. We've got St. Patrick's Day coming up, Big Jim, next week. And, of course, speaking of folks from European descent who have had an impact on Tucson and southern Arizona, we have Hugo O'Connor, who was a mercenary, I believe, under employ of the Spanish crown, an Irishman who helped found the Presidio of Tucson.
Don Hugo O'Connor.
From County Roscommon, and the mayor, or the head of, former head of County Roscommon, Big Jim, will be our guest here on the Buckmaster Show.
Oh, wonderful.
On St. Patrick's Day.
Ask your guest to explain the phrase, the wild geese.
Okay.
Because Captain O'Connor was a wild goose. He was one of the wild geese. And I'll give a brief explanation.
Very
so
brief.
The mayor doesn't have to do it if he doesn't want to. The wild geese were Irish, upper class Irishmen who, because they did not wish to renounce their Catholicism, could not hold commissions in the British army, because you had to swear allegiance to the Church of England.
And they weren't going to do that.
And so the wild geese held commissions in all kinds of Catholic countries, armies. But it's such a wonderful term, the wild. It's so Irish. It's the wild geese. And I'd love to hear the mayor of Roscommon explain the image of the wild geese.
Hugo O'Connor. I think he had, supposedly he had a big head, a red head.
Yes.
Yeah, big hair. Anyway, Big Jim Griffith, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we'll look forward to having you again.
You bet.
Thank you so much. We're coming up now on 59 minutes past the hour. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday. We want to thank Big Jim Griffith. We want to thank Tom Miller, the writer, Senator DeConcini, Arizona Border Regent. We want to thank the people putting on Bike Fest 2011 for being our guests on today's Buckmaster Show. Have a great day.
Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Local talk at its best.
Up next, you won't believe what's going to happen.
This is Tucson's Jolt.
KJLL, South Tucson.